This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Show. We're live. We're back in the friendly confines of the Aloe Fiber Studios. We were out in public yesterday. It was an interesting time. Michael was, you weren't here to witness any of it. It was a lot of fun. We were live from Harmony Club doing my annual coverage of the CSU golf event. It's not like I'm covering the actual golfing or anything. It's just a chance where you get all of the CSU men's basketball players in one spot and the coaches. And we had a chance to interview guys and coaches and everything. And it's, man, I just got to say that part of it is so much fun. Being able just to kind of, we didn't have long with each of the segments, Michael, but they were short and sweet. But the one cool thing is seeing Ollie Faroukmanesh in that head coaching spot. You know, I've interviewed him a few times since he was hired as the head coach, but getting to see him kind of running around, facilitating, meeting, shaking hands and kissing babies and doing all that stuff. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he could do. But here we are today. We didn't do really any of the recap from the weekend that was, which was a really positive weekend. And so, Michael, let's waste no more time here. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, courtesy of FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me is a kind of a mixed thing here. Solid winning weekend for almost all of the regional team, the region's teams that we cover. Air Force lost, but still very exciting. Every game of theirs is fun to watch. They play Wyoming this weekend. Also, my picks. I went 4-2. Broncos did not cover. They win 13-11. Yuck. But we'll get into it. UNC, Ed Lamb's football team, they are actually getting votes for the top 25 in the FCS. They're getting votes. That is crazy to me. And they're 3-3, and they beat Idaho. I mean, this is a good football team, folks. They have every game, even their losses, have not been very bad. I mean, they've all been close games. So I'm excited for this UNC Bears football team. The bad is, I must say, the Broncos offense right now. I've got some theories because I was tooling around reading the Denver Post, and there's a lot of frustration that you're not using your best players, what, you know, J.K. Dobbins and Evan Engram. I have a theory on that, and we'll get to it. The ugly, tis the season, Michael. Firing season. We're getting it. Titans fired Callahan yesterday. They fired Brian Callahan on Monday, just 6 games into his second season as their head coach. You had the Penn State stuff. They're firing James Franklin after 12 seasons. He's owed more than $49 million. Weren't they in the playoffs last year? I mean, he's owed more than $49 million, according to his contract. It's the second biggest buyout in college football history behind Jimbo Fisher's $76 million buyout. That is wild to me. It's also like he has to look for another job in coaching or broadcasting, and Penn State is only obligated to pay the salary difference, according to different random sources. Front Office Sports is one source, and then Bleacher Report, and then Barstool Sports. He's required to look for another job in coaching or broadcasting, according to a copy of his Penn State contract obtained by Front Office Sports. If Franklin's new job pays him less than the $8 million he's owed annually through 2031. Penn State only owes him the difference. It's probably going to be like, you know, when you have to show that you're looking for a job and you're unemployed. It's like unemployment. He has to show that he's interviewing and doing all that stuff. I guess he could tank the interviews if he wanted to. He'll get a job, but he has to actually show that he's doing it. That's fascinating.
I bet he wish CSU had fired their coach so he could have immediately gone and done an interview. Look, see, I'm interviewing.
Yeah. Jay Norvell, speaking of that, survived. They beat Fresno State, and it got a little sketchy for a few moments, but really, CSU controlled that game. And that looked like a completely different team, and I want to get into that, too. We're doing something new. I've got a $20 gift certificate on the line today. Today. Top Text Tuesday makes its triumphant return. And I know Susan and Cheryl are very happy about that. Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. There you go. They're somewhat excited. A little delayed excitement. The Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. You want sports memorabilia and sports cards? You're listening to this show. You probably do. That's the place to go. I'm going to give the $20 gift certificate to the top text, best text of the day. I mean, it can be funny. It can be thought-provoking. It can be cheesy, I suppose. It can be whatever you want it to be. Just don't, you know, don't pull a Nicola Joppa and make it, don't put a lot of curse words in it. Michael. Nicola Joppa, I love the dude. He was colorful in his language yesterday. It was fun. It was, and he's a great dude. But yeah, gotta coach him up, Mike. That's where you're supposed to coach him up. You have to give him a call, talk to him.
My fault. I wasn't here to.
You were not here, Brian's first time ever producing my show, and I just so happened to be on remote in one of the craziest shows of the year that I do because it is wall to wall to wall to wall to wall to wall to wall interviews, and Brian rolled with the punches. It was very good. Big Hub says, as I said yesterday, I loved what I saw from CSU, but want to see if that can continue for the rest of the season. On the football side of things, sure, yeah. Was that a fluke? Is Fresno State not very good? That's what you ask when you're a 1-4 team and you finally break through. You can go glass half full approach and say, that's who this team is. That's who we expected against UTSA and Washington State and San Diego State and even Northern Colorado. Or you can say, I don't, because honestly, I didn't know. We're still in this finding out process. I don't know if Fresno State's good. I thought EJ Warner looked really rough. He had moments for sure, but I thought he and his receivers looked like they were reading two different playbooks. So can they keep it going? That was an important game for Jay Norvell to win because we're seeing everybody get fired this week. I got a list of that we can break into. I mean, Oregon State moved on from Trent Bray. And their special teams coordinator, Arkansas, fired their head coach, Michael. Obviously,
didn't Trent Dilfer get fired?
Trent Dilfer got fired. Obviously, we know Mike Gundy got fired a couple of weeks ago. So it's this weekend. I mean, Deshaun Foster at a UCLA. We've seen what's happened with UCLA.
I would not have fired the Penn State coach. I think that's a bad idea.
Seriously, am I wrong? They were in the playoffs last year, right?
They were.
Yeah. Like, what are we doing here?
This is a reactionary thing. There must have been a lot of complaints. Like, suddenly, oh, my goodness. Like, we've lost three in a row. Yeah, you lose. I know you're not used to it, but you were in the playoffs last year.
How
like,
do you?
This stuff happens.
Doesn't he get a pass? Like, if you're a playoff coach last year, you get a full pass.
Unless they know
something we don't know? Right. Unless something's going on, which that guy's been there a while. So it would be quite shocking if there's off-the-field stuff. But that's sad. It's a sad state of the world, right, when our brain goes there. I don't think that's what it is, obviously. But it was a strange move. And now they owe him a lot of money. It's like if CSU fires Jay Norvell right now, they owe him $1.5 million.
And he can just go coach at CSU for practically free.
Yeah. Text from Faith. This is already, look, listen, you guys are already bringing it. Top Text Tuesday here. Winner gets a $20 gift certificate to Diamond Valley Collectibles. The infamous asparagus analogy is starting to become real with our beloved UNC Bears. Takes time. Ed Lamb once said, you know, he planted asparagus and it takes what, 3 years for it to actually pop up or come out of the ground. I don't know. And that's what he used as an analogy to what he's trying to do here at Northern Colorado. I would say right now they're ahead of the game. You know, after that win against Idaho, they were 20-point dogs in that game.
Something just like 19.
Just to compete would have been pretty cool. But then to kind of control that game and do it the way that they did it defensively. I mean, they gave up some points in this one, but they made plays when they needed to. And that wide receiver duo for the UNC Bears is ridiculous. Carver Cheeks and Braden Monroe. Those guys are monsters. Braden Monroe had 5 receptions for 151 yards and a touchdown. Carver Cheeks had 9 receptions for 120 yards. Eric Gibson Jr., what more can we say about the kid, dude? 22 of 34, 350 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, so Idaho was out that without their quarterback. Was it Josh Warner? Is that who it was? He didn't play in that game. It was kind of a shock to me because on our Football 52 podcast, Coach Lamb and I talked about him in quite the detailed conversation. And then he didn't play, so obviously that changes things. But still, a win is a win. And a win over a ranked opponent. What were they, 11th?
Something like that, yeah. They put points on the board. UNC put points on the board. A lot of points.
49 points. When's the last time they put 49 points on the board?
I don't recall them ever putting that many points on the board.
I don't recall it. Listen, guys. Make no mistake about it. Today, no matter what happens for the rest of the season, and I know Ernest Collins Jr. had 6 wins twice in a row, but that has pretty much been the highlight. They didn't have any of these monster wins like this. This is the most excited, the best the feeling has ever been around the UNC Bears since they switched to Division I FCS football. This is the best it's ever been. And that could change. The bottom could fall out. That's the negative part of my brain talking, but this is I always use this with Coach Lamb, and he hates it, but the tortoise and the hare. Who won the race, Mike?
Nobody, not the rabbit.
Nobody wants to be the tortoise at the beginning, but then when you realize what it was all about, like the tortoise just puts his head down and goes and grinds and keeps working, doesn't pay attention to distractions or any of that, doesn't listen to the naysayer saying how slow he is, he just keeps going. And meanwhile, the rabbit's so cocky, he's running around doing whatever, taking his time, taking naps, distracting himself, and then doesn't end up winning the race.
Eventually, the fox catches up with him and eats him.
I don't think that's part of the story, unless you're watching. It's probably one of the weird gothic things that you're watching in your spare time. I mean, what can we say about this Bears team? It's funny, I saw a random dude post on X. They were pissed off that we weren't broadcasting the games, and we don't need to go through that, but you know, trying to make it seem like we don't care about what's going on with the Bears. Dude, I graduated from UNC. So did Tanner. We do a podcast with Ed Lamb. Ed is on the morning show all the time. We promote the Bears like crazy. Make no mistake about it. We are 100% thrilled about it. It's just the day and age of doing these kind of live broadcasts are different when they are available on ESPN Plus. It is what it is, guys. But we're freaking thrilled about this. We've been behind it. I've sat down with Ed Lamb once a week for 2 years now with 1 win season. We started the podcast after a 0 win season. I get here at 7 in the morning every Wednesday to do that podcast with Ed. I live in Fort Collins, so it's a journey. Not that much, but so we're dedicated to our coverage, win or lose, of this UNC Bears football team. And it's just a lot more fun when they're winning. I text Ed, congratulations. He texts me back and he said, starting to turn, buddy. Starting to turn. I mean, guys, the reason I was so confident, I've been confident in UNC and Ed Lamb for so long, is just when he goes higher, just look at, you know, what was said about this guy. You know, Kalani Sitake, the head coach for BYU, who was his boss. This was the quote he provided UNC when they hired him. First and foremost, Ed is a tremendous person, a great husband and a father with an incredible family. He is successful and experienced head coach who knows how to establish a culture and lead a football program. Ed has played a significant role in developing our program and the operating systems we use to run our program. As a coach, he has expertise coaching all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. So he is uniquely prepared to mentor his coaching staff and players to be successful. That is who this guy is. You had the director of athletics for BYU put something out there. Ken Beezer at a Utah Tech, the athletic director, had something to say there too. This is a turnaround that's not necessarily shocking to us, but I do think that they're a little ahead of the game this year. We were hoping for 4 or 5 wins. They should be able to trip over 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah, and this is not you can go and listen to Friday's show on Good Morning NoCo. This is not one that any of us called to win.
No, I didn't call them to win.
Yeah, I thought that they would definitely cover the spread. When I looked at the score a little after halftime, because that's when I got home, I was like, wow, they're ahead?
Yeah.
I mean, I expected it to be a pretty close game, but ahead?
Yeah.
And by that much?
Just ran the table, bro. I mean, just they left no doubt. They win 49-33. They scored 35 first half points, slowed down in the third, but then picked it right back up in the fourth and put out 14. Proud of this team, man. Eric Gibson, I got to get him on the show. Eric Gibson Jr., put in a very difficult spot. And here he is. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Top text of the day. Give me something good today. Get thought-provoking. And we'll whatever it is. You want to talk Broncos-Jets-London game? We want to talk about that? We want to talk about this defense that is maybe going to be historically good? I mean, the Jets are bad, but what the Broncos did to the Jets, what the Broncos did to Justin Fields... I mean,
surprised they haven't fired him.
The Jets minus 10 net pass yards is the worst in a game in Jets history and worst by any team in 27 years, according to ESPN Insights. Justin Fields ended with, he was 9 of 17 for 45 yards, but he was sacked 9 times for negative 55 yards, Mike. So that's what that negative 10 net is. Wow. The Broncos now have 30 sacks. The record is 72, and we are 6 games in. This group is fun to watch. This defense, and we'll get into the offense. Don't worry, we'll talk about it. I mean, everybody's getting involved though. I like Justin Sternott. He's cranked up his game. He had a sack and a half in that one. It's just a good football team on the defensive side of the ball. And offense, we have worries. But I am seeing a lot of this like complaining about, oh, they barely beat the Jets. They're a bad team. Dude, who's great right now? Did you see the Bills lose? Big Hub? You saw that? See the Bills lose last night?
I saw a little bit of MPJ throwing it around the yard.
Threw it around the yard. Michael Penix Jr., you mean? There's only one MPJ.
Yeah, MPJ.
Well, he's not a Nugget anymore, so I'll let you have that one. That's fine. Jonathan Cooper, though, and Nick Benito, those guys have been sensational. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Big Hub, let's talk about those CU fans getting beat up by players and field goal posts. Too much weed will do that to you. It's a good text. They stormed the field after beating Iowa State, which, who called that, Mike?
Was it you?
Who called that? Who also called Wyoming to win? That was wacky, but they won. Got that right. Got the Bears to cover. I took Air Force to cover as well, and they did. So I got those 4. I missed the CSU game. That was the one that got me because they won.
I missed a lot this weekend. I missed all of the – I didn't miss UNC because I said that they would cover that, but I missed CSU and CU.
Listen to you talking like a degenerate gambler now, talking about covering. It's like you know what you're talking about now.
Well, that's because it was explained to me like 5 times, and now I kind of understand.
Big Up just says, Dirty Birds. How about the Buffs fans? Like, do you have a problem with them storming the field after beating
no,
a ranked
really.
Opponent? They beat it. They were number 22. I don't care. I don't like it when you engulf the players, and it just, like, you're there instantly, and you don't even allow the player to get out of the way. Who was that a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Sitting on the ground, and is just a storm comes over his body and like That's not safe. That's what I don't like. I wouldn't do that. I mean, I have more respect for myself, honestly, than to be a... I was in college once, too. I was never one of those crazy, oh my gosh, you're going to run all over the field and tear stuff up. Now you just cost your school money.
And I think that's ridiculous.
Look, yeah, that's weird, but...
As long as it's... If it gets out of control, if it gets out of control like it did a few weeks ago, that's when the school gets fined. But, like, if it's not out of control, if it's, like... Okay, I remember when they used to tear the field goal, the uprights.
Why
down.
Though? Why? Why
I don't
do
know why
that?
They did that?
Why?
Because they had like fun, but like that I can
fun?
Understand.
I
the
don't,
destructive stuff.
I just don't. I don't like it either way. I just court storming, field storm. I don't.
Court storming's more dangerous.
I don't hate. It, I just am not, like, that's not my thing. It's like, I don't want to tell you how to fan, though, and that's part of being a fan, and I say that a lot. Like, if you want to boo, I'm not a boo bird, but if you want to boo, go for it. If you want to storm the field like a Yahoo and just look crazy out there, then I guess go for it. That's not my style, though. And not everybody can be as cool as me. You want to go out there and act like a lunatic and just throw everything aside and, oh, I'm just going to go crazy out here. Yeah, that's okay. That's your thing. Aaron says, I think the Broncos-Jets game showed why having a quarterback that doesn't take negative plays can give you a chance to win any game. Aaron, good text. And that's what did I tell you at the beginning of the season about Bo Nix? That his numbers were going to be worse? I think his numbers were going to be worse because this defense is going to carry this team and you are going to ask him, don't take sacks, don't throw interceptions. Don't put your team in a bad position. And yet you had the safety, and we're going to get to that too, because that was Quinn Meinerz, right, with the holding call. Matt Peart was rough in this game, filling in for Powers. I mean, that was a tough go. What's the plan there? But you won. It's in London. We said it all week leading up to it. It's in London, though. No matter who you're going against, it's always weird. Well, we can't act like that just evaporates after the game. That felt like a very, very much a London-y type of game. First Advantage text line. Write it down. Put it in your phone because you want to keep this because we're giving away a $20 gift certificate for Top Text Tuesday to Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Get that in your phone. Save it. And text us in. We love hearing from you anyway, but I want you guys to bring the noise. It's Top Text Tuesday. It's Tuesday's kind of a blah kind of day, but I want you guys to help make Tuesday great again. That's our new our campaign slogan. Faith says, if Salty was a person, it definitely was the Idaho coach on Saturday. His facials during the game said it all. Good job, camera crew. Well, Ed said this too. The days of sneaking up on people are gone. The word is out that this Bears team is no longer the Bad News Bears of the Big Sky Conference.
And they're still going to beat Montana State.
Well, they got Sacramento State first. And both of those teams are receiving votes. This is a huge game. And you know what time it is? 7 o'clock on ESPN Plus. Saturday night. I don't get to watch a lot of UNC games like full on live because they're right in the middle of the day, especially when they're at home because they can't play night games. This is perfect. I am like, this is my game of the week. I know it doesn't see you play Utah. CSU plays Hawaii. Air Force Wyoming play. No, this is my game of the week. 100%. Really pumped about it. Let's go Bears. Let's go Ed Lamb. 29 minutes after the hour. Get those texts coming in. 888-530-0043. Give me your takes. Your Broncos takes. Your take on Jay Norvell. Did he do enough? Or is it all just game by game at this point? Survived a crucial weekend. All right, we'll take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back? Still doing that shit, Andre?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Check me out.
Bird.
Don't ruin things. No, don't ruin things.
Dog.
Stop ruining things. Why are you ruining things for me?
Word.
That's a good tune. I'm not even a rap guy. That's a great tune. That's just the great beat. All of it. Excellent. Texter from 970. Fresno looked pathetic. Where did they get five wins? Well, that's why when we talked about Fresno State, I don't think anybody was ready to crown Fresno State. But it was just CSU had been so bad that we thought, okay, San Diego State's not a world beater, although they're 5-1 suddenly. Maybe all the teams they're losing. Was it Washington State almost upset Ole Miss? Maybe the teams CSU's been playing. I mean, Washington, did they end up winning? They had Rutgers. Didn't they have Rutgers?
They did. They did come back from 10-0 to blow out Rutgers.
All right, so, I figured they did. And UNC's good. So did CSU just lose to a lot of good teams?
No.
No? I mean, so Fresno State, they were 5-1. They'd won 5 in a row. They beat Georgia Southern.
They exist.
They beat Oregon State, but Oregon State's so bad, they just fired their coach. They beat Southern. They beat Hawaii, which I think is a decent win. They beat Nevada, which Nevada, I like to say it like that. It's not good.
Nevada.
It's Nevada.
Nevada.
I don't think Fresno State's that great.
Yeah, I don't think they're that great. I think they're one of those, they had a really easy schedule, and CSU probably had... Well, I don't know. I don't know about CSU's schedule. Like, I think the Bears are better than everybody thought.
100%.
And I think that CSU still had a fairly weak schedule. I think this is one of those Mountain West and Pac-12 are just going to be big question marks.
Yeah, at least right now. But here's what the Rams did that I love. They ran the ball 35 times. They threw it 18. Lloyd Avant had 16 carries for 52 yards. Justin Marshall had the 73-yarder big gash. Hopefully he's okay, man. He got hurt in that game. He gets hurt a lot, but I love that dude. He had 7 carries for 93 yards and a touchdown. Jalen Dupree, 31 yards. That's the ticket right there. Three dudes that we know are really good, and you just give them the ball. Pound the rock. So Jackson Brissot was good. You were coming up with... You know, big plays. E.J. Warner threw 3 interceptions. E.J. looked off in that game. So this was a great performance. This was a season-saving game, perhaps a career-saving game. Maybe. I mean, you will have to get to the point. John Weber, at some point this season or at the end of the season, because you're not going to go into next season in a contract year. You're not going to do that to Jay. Because recruiting becomes almost impossible. If you're like, I got 1 year left, I don't know what's going to happen. You either have to fire him or give him a contract extension. Because that makes it way too difficult. So that was a career-saving win for Jay Norvell. And I'm rooting for it. I do not dislike Jay Norvell. There are coaches where I'm like, yeah, I'm ready for it to be done. I am not ready for it to be done. Which, to be honest, I think there was like Adazio, I was kind of like, I'm ready for that to be done. But every other coach I've talked to and interviewed on the show, I do root for him, and I'm rooting for Jay. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. It is Top Text Tuesday, and I want your best text of the day. Give me your take on the Broncos offense. How about Bo Nix? Any burning hot takes around Bo Nix? Are we worried about Bo. I feel like when it's good, it looks good. Like, it looks really good. And he steps up in the pocket, makes a quick decision, takes off and runs, whatever. But then suddenly, it's just like, I think Bo even talked about it, just out of rhythm. This team just looks out of rhythm offensively. I'm watching a lot of these other, although right now, this is what's crazy, Mike. Now, take your Bronco fan hat off and just be logical here, Mike. Who in the AFC is overwhelmingly better than the Broncos?
Are we including the refs when I say the Chiefs?
I don't even care if you want to include the refs. They're 3-3. I mean, they did beat the Lions, but...
The refs beat the Lions.
Are the Chiefs overwhelmingly better than the Denver Broncos today? The Chargers?
Overall, the Broncos are the best team. Taking the fan hat off.
Colts are probably better. They keep winning.
Yeah, but you look at that Broncos defense. That game was an interesting game, I think. We play that game again. It's not going to turn out the same way.
Texter says, now CSU has players decommitting. I have seen that from a couple. Well, it's tough if you don't know the direction, too, of what's going to happen with Jay Norvell. If you don't know, that does make it difficult. I mean, are the Steelers better than the Broncos? They're 4-1. I thought they would be good with Aaron Rodgers. I thought they would be. There's a lot of people who are, this would be a terrible team.
I thought they would be average.
Baltimore's bad, and they weren't good when Lamar was there necessarily. And that's not getting fixed anytime soon. The Patriots? The Bills lost last night? I mean, as we sit here today, are you confident in saying that a certain team is clearly better than the Denver Broncos at this point?
Well, if the playoffs began today.
Go on.
I would still say that the Broncos are the best team.
If the playoffs begin today, the Broncos would just barely get in.
I know, but you know how much I hate that, that saying.
You started it. I didn't even do it. You brought it up.
If it's 9 games through the season, then yes, we can start saying that. If the playoffs began today.
Mm-hmm.
In three more games,
we can say if the playoffs begin today.
Yeah.
That is Micah's rule. Okay. I will follow Micah's your rule blindly. If the playoffs were to begin today for the Avalanche.
Oh, that now you're just making me mad.
Texter, if Jay was fired, who are you taking? Any of the fired coaches this year? Well, I think Mike Gundy would be cool.
Just for the
but
press conference.
But that's not happening. But
would he do interviews on the whole show?
I hope so. I don't know. When they get big, because I used to interview Carl Durrell for CU, but I haven't even come close to getting a Coach Prime interview. Probably because I picked them to lose to CSU. But I picked them to beat Iowa State. That's the thing. I picked the Buffs to beat Iowa State. And where were the Buffs fans? If I pick them to lose to CSU, everyone loses their mind. I pick them to beat a ranked team on Friday. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. And crickets from you guys. I'm done. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. What do I have to do?
Brady, those aren't Buffs fans. Those are Prime fans.
Well, still. I don't know. 42 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's take a quick break here. Colorado State, what's next for this team? They have Hawaii. Hawaii is a sneaky good team in the Mountain West, so that could be a battle. Let's talk about it. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I remember when I first came up here to UNC, I was writing for the UNC Mirror. It's an interesting time in my life, and I was on sports, and I went to interview Kay Dalton. Kay Dalton was the coach, I think the first year of making that transition to the FCS. Division I FCS. And I remember him sitting there saying, what people don't realize is this transition is a very, and I didn't know that much about that transition, but he's like, it takes a long time. And I think in his mind, he was thinking years, like a couple years. But it has been a long, from 2005 to where we are today, 20 years. It has not ever been good. I mean, they had the 2 years with Ernest Collins Jr. where they won six games, and that was, I guess, considered average, right? You win about half your games. That's average. It's not good. And they're not there. They're 3-3 right now, but this has got to be one of the better starts in their history. Pretty close to it. And then the way that they've battled with the Ray, if you just want to take the, not just the wins, but even the losses too, they're in every game.
Yeah, I remember them getting blown out. I think I've produced so many games where they get blown out that I used to just expect every game to be a blowout. Like, oh, they're within 10? Cool. Let's hope it stays this way. They just have not been good for years, and a lot of it is, you, as you say all the time, it's resources. They don't have the resources. But also, I don't know if they gave Kay enough time.
Well, I mean, he'd been there for a while. They gave him 5 years. He was 2000 to 2005. And obviously, his record is decent because they were Division II for his first 4 years, and then they made that transition. Then it was Scott Downing, who was bad, from 2006 to 2010. He was 9-47. Ernest Collins Jr. was there from, you talk about giving a guy time, 2011 to 2019. He went 28-72, but he was also responsible for their best records. Then Ed McCaffrey, 20-22, really two seasons. They didn't play in 2020. He went 6-16. And now Ed Lamb, it's not been updated, but he was 1-22 to start the season. And here we go. Eastside Chris says, Brady, it hurts, but I have to think the Chiefs might be in the driver's seat. Yeah, the Chiefs are doing it again, I'll tell you. And as soon as people start writing them off, they don't write back. Little Geno Smith thing there. They're not writing back. They're not writing back.
Well, I mean, the University of Texas El Paso has something to say about that.
Yeah, what was that? Tanner was confusing me today. What was that? Basically, that there's a study showing that mentally refs are just giving to summarize, the refs are giving the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt mentally. It's just in their brain.
Yeah, they're cheating, basically.
But they're not meaning to cheat?
No, I think they probably are actually cheating, but they are given the benefit of the doubt, the refs.
11:51 the time. We got top stories of the day. We got a lot of them to get to. I'm out on Tua. Tua Tagovailoa is driving me crazy. I can't stand the, well, you don't play, so you can't talk about it. He's been doing that for a while now.
You're not going to give Tua three chances?
Now he's saying crazy things, and he's making his head coach, Mike McDaniel, look even worse. It's getting worse there. But we'll talk about it. 11:52 the time. It's the whole show. We're powered by Chevron. We're live from the Alifiber Studios. It's Top Text Tuesday. Bring the heat. Eastside Chris, I know you got it. I know you got it in you. I want you to win the $20 gift certificate. We'll be right back.
Don't sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red-hot takes on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Michael, your first day back on the job since missing yesterday, and we're off on the clock. Starting to think it's not me.
I'm starting to think it's you.
I'm starting to think it's not me. All right.
The refs.
Top stories of the day. Bring the text. Bring the thunder. That was pretty good first hour. Keep it coming. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.